This podcast began with me remembering when I had a Lexus, 10 years or so ago. I liked it, but also thought, naively, that it was like a German car only from Japan. And then I went to Japan and realized, oh no, these cars are Japanese. And once you realize that, you can sit in one and be driven in one, even blindfolded, and know just where you are. Even down to the sound system. Now, if I blindfolded you, and I put you in an A8, 7 Series, an S-Class, and an LS, and I said, tell me, turn on music, I said, can you tell me when you're in the LS, could you? I'm at Mark Levinson's operations outside of Los Angeles. This is the place where the Lexus sound system was created. Brett Holm is one of the system's designers, and just as I thought, he could ID the car blindfolded.
The LS specifically, yes.
What would be the cue? In other words, what song would he use to be absolutely sure he was sitting in a Lexus?
So I have worked with the car for years.
Yeah.
So when I'm checking, like I've listened to probably 20 different cars. Mm-hmm. I know where on certain songs I play, things should be. I know that as things
what song would you, first of all, you could take one song into each, into all four cars. What's
you
the
know
song?
I'm totally going to set this up now. Like I'm writing this down and it's happening. I'm so
one
excited.
Song. I want the diagnostic song. So I want, what's the song that helps you distinguish between those four systems the best?
On the spot.
I'm curious to hear your answer, actually. Yeah.
Goo. Pardon me, that's...
Just the LS. Tough. The one that will help you identify the LS with 100% certainty. From Lexus and Pushkin Industries, this is Go and See, our podcast about what makes a Lexus a Lexus. This is our final episode, number 6 out of 6. We have explored why the windows on the LS slow as they reach their apex, why the LC sports car accelerates in perfect intervals, what it takes to make an engine sound amazing, and countless other things, all in service of something I have to admit I did not fully appreciate until I went to Japan, which is that behind even the simplest details lies a mountain of thought and research and experimentation and expertise in service not just of the machine itself, in service of the driver. So in the sonic temple of Mark Levinson, I asked Brad for his signature song, because by this point, at the end of my Lexus immersion, I know he has one.
Okay, so the song that I would use, just hit me. It's a recording of Sanctus. I forget the composer, I'm sorry, it's classical. There's two choirs, there's a female and a male choir on the stage, and there's a pipe organ that plays down to 28-ish hertz. So it's going to exercise low frequency extension. Uh-huh. It has to be even throughout. The choirs are separated. You still need the reverb. But when you go into 3D, the roof of that car seems to almost kind of disappear a little bit. And that experience was phenomenal for me. And so when I go to these different manufacturers, ours isn't overdone to be like, look at our technology. It's the next level of polish to deliver reference.
Yeah. So you play that song, Sanctus, in an LS. It is qualitatively different from the way it would sound in the other automobiles, and you would be able to pick it out.
Yes.
Trust me, we will play some Sanctus. When we were in Japan just a few weeks earlier, my producers Jacob Smith and Carly Migliori went to one of the crown jewels of the Lexus operation, the driving simulator. And I want to talk about the simulator just for a moment to make a point about perfectionism, about what perfectionism looks like. The Higashi facility is high security. You check in an unassuming office building, hand over your phones and computers, then take a van up a long and winding road past the manufactured strip of ice Toyota uses for bad weather testing. You come to a second building in gray glass, up a flight of stairs, and then...
Oh, wow.
This is it.
I mean, it looks like something for like space flight testing.
Very similar, very comparable concept, yeah. Yes.
Imagine a white dome, 15 to 20 feet high, The floor is a massive turntable, and in the middle, on a set of tracks, is a car. A Lexus LS, of course. When you, quote-unquote, drive in this simulator, it's meant to feel incredibly real, like you're actually driving down the roads projected on the dome. The car can tilt, actually tilt, turn, speed up. The projector creates a virtual reality version of the road and passing scenery. There's road noise. I don't even want to know what a gadget like this costs. Basically, take the kid who drives those race car video games at the mall, give him a couple $100 million when he grows up, and this is what you get.
First, we're all going to go into the unit.
So we're going 56 kilometers an hour, driving straight towards Mount Fuji. We just went right through a van.
The point of the simulator is that it records everything the driver does in there, every move, every decision, and your vital signs too. How fast your heart is racing, everything, is all recorded in real time and relayed to the control room where teams of engineers sit behind computer screens and try to make sense of it. Like your eyes. What exactly are you looking at?
Yeah, so this white circle is tracking my eye line? What are those multicolored dots?
So that's your eyesight, yeah.
That's the eyesight, and then the oval is my face.
Yes.
I have two thoughts about the simulator. First, can you build a car without a multi-million-dollar simulator? Of course you can. People did for years. The simulator isn't really about the car. It's about the driver. Or to put it more precisely, it's not really about making better cars. It's about making better drivers. This came up again and again at our time with Lexus. Whether we were discussing engines or windows or suspension systems, we think of the engineer as someone obsessed with the object, with its design and operation and manufacture, and not the user of the object. But in so many cases with Lexus, it was the other way around. I mean, what was the point of putting Jacob in that multi-million-dollar contraption? To learn about Jacob. To figure out how can we study him under controlled circumstances so the car can help make him into a better driver.
All right, we got a pedestrian. I'm worried. Straight?
You can see a beautiful lady.
Yes.
It's a distraction.
She's not for me. I'm
the beautiful lady is a distraction.
Eyes on the road.
You looked at her. Were distracted.
You gotta be aware of what's around you. You cannot look.
my goodness. God.
Can I honk?
Oh, a little kid just fell.
You can go straight.
Should I? I don't trust this person.
Yeah. You're a safety driver.
Thank you. Defensive driving, right? So I didn't kill anyone.
Yeah?
No, almost that little kid.
That wasn't close. I saw that kid coming from a mile away.
How did you do? Was he good? Good driver?
Oh, very good driver, thank you. Yeah. Maybe some people hits a pedestrian.
Yeah.
Or hits a bike.
Lexus has run thousands of people through that simulator. Recorded and analyzed oceans of data, created an unimaginably finely grained portrait of what drivers do and how they behave. Can you make a car without that data? Sure, but not a Lexus. This is what perfectionism is, isn't it? The ability to focus on more than the object in question and the commitment to something beyond what is merely sufficient. Which brings us back to Mark Levinson and Brad Holmes' signature song. What was Brad's motivation? I'm pretty sure that at the core, he didn't have some elaborate technical agenda.
Wait, I want to go back to something. Actually, when you're talking about that song Sanctus, you were saying the sensation of the roof being lifted off. What did you mean by that?
So if your eyes are closed,
yeah,
and you are in the church that it was recorded in, and you're just sitting there, you hear the reverb, you can tell that this is a huge sense of space. In a car, you don't get that often because the top of the car is sound absorbing. So for us to reproduce that, it's kind of this concept with your eyes closed of, there's a roof to the car. It's right here. I can sense that. And then all of a sudden there's sound from above me and it's echoing and I've got this sense of space above me. And so that's kind of like the tearing the roof off, where in a non-George Clinton P-Funk kind of way, what you're doing is feeling that you're getting this extra space in a vehicle that's not actually there.
Well, see, so what the LS manages to do, the reason you picked that song is because what the LS has managed to do is to give you the sensation of listening to it in a church.
It gives you where you were originally recorded, where that song was. Yeah. But it also tests the four attributes that Jonathan was talking about. Spectrally, going from 28 hertz on an organ note, which is very deep, all the way up to the 20K that we're listening to. From spatial, having the understanding of where everything is. Dynamics, it starts off very quiet, just choir. But then it moves to the full orchestra, and that gets builds and builds. And the passion that comes out of that for me, I love getting to this. It's a minute and a half clip that I use. And by the end of it, everybody's in, and I'm just like, ha, 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 ha. You know, it's this amazing experience when it happens correctly.
Like I said, we're going to play some Sanctus. At the end of our day at Mark Levinson, Jacob, Brad, and I went into the parking lot. Lexus had loaned us an LS for a few days, which we had parked outside, and we wanted Brad to explain how he solved the problem of its sound system.
So right off the bat, we have, you can see this door speaker here. That's going to be our main woofer, and that plays a lot of upper bass and lower mid-range for us. We then pair that with a mid-range. As I explained in the room, you can hear low frequency, and you could put that almost anywhere in the car physically to help out. So in this case, we're using low frequency in the corners because then we get loading in the car so we can actually maximize the output.
Low frequencies, bass notes, can come from virtually anywhere. Boom, boom. You have a lot of freedom in where you put that in a car, but not high frequency sounds. Those are directional. If you want to properly hear someone's transcendent soprano, it has to be aimed directly at your ear. That's what's so hard about setting up a car stereo. You need the tweeter up high. But up high in a car is all roof pillars and glass.
Then we put our mid-range and treble together up across the instrument panel so that we have left, center, and right in a nice array like you'd see in a room.
Speakers across the front of the dashboard, then another set in the passenger door.
So I'll open the rear door. And what you'll see is the farthest forward upper corner of this door panel.
Brad talked us through every speaker in the car.
Where's the subwoofer?
So the subwoofer is actually right in the center of the package tray here on the rear shelf.
Yeah.
It's packaged underneath this grill.
Yeah.
And then there's surround speakers that are on either side.
Oh, so this whole back part here is all speaker here?
There's five speakers, three locations in the back, yes.
Yeah.
He popped open the trunk. More speakers.
So this car has how many speakers in total?
23.
Do you really need 23? Well, if you want the roof to come off while Sanctus is playing, yes you do. And you need them all in exactly the right place, tuned exactly the right way. And in order to do that, you have to design the sound system at the same time as you design the car itself. You can't tack it on afterwards. When did Brad and his colleagues start working on the LS stereo? 5 years before the car came out.
Wait, should we listen to some music?
Yeah, if you want to jump in the driver's seat.
Brad sat in the passenger seat and configured the settings on the sound system for 3D.
If it's too loud for you,
no,
I apologize. Okay. So I'll start the track over.
And now we're going to go
3D.
And what is, just before you go into that, what does 3D mean?
So it means three-dimensional surround sound.
Yeah.
So these speakers that are above your face in the location here, these are going to turn on and give you the reverb that that room should have. And this is where I was talking about the room coming, or the roof being peeled off.
Yeah.
This is the technology that allows that. So give it a little more gas.
This is what allows you to know with your, if your eyes were closed that you were in an LS.
Yep. So I'll switch over to it now.
Okay.
Thank you. quiet and the bells and you just
it's insane. It's hard to believe we're in a car.
The roof came off, just like Brad said it would. Brad had another meeting to go to, but we just wanted to stall him. He had a thumb drive in his hand, loaded up with a number of songs. It couldn't all be classical, could it? What else could he play for us? We were thinking of the long drive back. It wouldn't do to drive down Sunset Boulevard blasting a 16th century hymn.
I do have a polar opposite I threw on. I kind of anticipated such a question.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, let's see. I forget. I just had a couple of seconds to put on here. So, instead of hip hop.
I was going to say Lamb of God.
Just something.
Yeah. So, I've got heavy metal.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's do heavy metal. Let's do heavy metal. Absolutely.
So, we talk about dynamics. This piece starts off with kind of a electrified flamenco style.
Yeah.
And then the whole band comes in and rips her head off. And if you don't jump in your seat, I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
Six episodes, a long trip to Japan, a simulator, a day at the track, deep dives with some of the world's best automobile engineers. And there we were at the end, listening to Lamb of God at very high volume in a parking lot in the valley, in order to discover that Lexus makes perfect things for everyone, even metalheads. Go and see. We went and we saw.
So let me point this out. Even though it's metal, you'll hear like far panned, but then center vocal. I'll shut up so you can hear it real quick.
That's so awesome. Go and See is produced by Jacob Smith, with Emily Rostek and Carly Migliori. Edited by Julia Barton, Evan Viola composed our theme music and mixed and mastered our episodes. Special thanks to Jacob Weisberg, Heather Fain, Paul Williamson, the Mark Levinson engineers, and all the Lexus executives, chief engineers, and designers who participated in our recordings. Also thank you to Jess Merrill, Mary Jane Kroll, Amanda Abrams, Joel Dons, Tyler Dupe, Craig Crawford, and Kyla Riley. Go and See is a production of Lexus and Pushkin Industries. I'm Malcolm Gladwell.